KOIN Portland. It's 10 o'clock.
CBS News. President Nixon heads west Friday for another series of public appearances to prove he has grassroots support to overcome Watergate. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Nixon and his family have been in Camp David, Maryland since Wednesday. The president may make a quick stop at the White House before flying to Phoenix, Arizona. Mr. Nixon will address the Republican rally. On Saturday, Air Force One flies northwest to Spokane, Washington. The president's appearance there is to officially open Expo 74. In Washington Thursday, the House Judiciary Committee agreed to allow presidential lawyer James St. Clair to question witnesses appearing before the committee, but not to cross-examine them. White House Chief of Staff Alexander Haig Thursday refused to testify before an executive session of the Senate Watergate Committee, citing executive privilege because of his conversations with the president. Republican Senator Howard Baker of the Senate Watergate Committee says the presidential transcripts made public Tuesday confirm the testimony of John Dean in some areas, yet failed to corroborate the testimony in others. Baker indicates a more careful study will have to be made before any firm conclusions can be drawn. Senator Baker did have some thoughts on the overall impact of the tapes.
Like fascinating reading. I, of course, had no idea there were tapes to begin with, but we've wanted them now for a year, and I must say that wholly aside from their contents, it gives a glimpse of the presidency and a glimpse of the humanity of the occupants of the White House that I really very much doubt has ever been disclosed for general public dissemination before.
Republican Senator Howard Baker. The electronic tape experts who have been working on the 18-minute gap in the White House tapes will report their findings Saturday to Judge Sirica. Their report, however, will not be made public on Saturday. More after this.
Glad is what happens when you use Dial soap. It starts right out with a clean, fresh scent that's like nothing else. To get you going clean and fresh. Dial washes away the cause of odor on your skin. You just can't buy a better deodorant soap than Dial. And that's saying something.
A judge has agreed to delay the case of John Ehrlichman until after he stands trial on federal charges in Washington. In California, Ehrlichman is charged with perjury in connection with a Los Angeles break-in at the office of Daniel Ellsberg's psychiatrist. The judge refused to dismiss the charges and denied a motion to move the trial to San Diego, a more conservative area. The Maryland Court of Appeals has disbarred former Vice President Agnew. The action prohibits Agnew from practicing law anywhere in the country. He was a lawyer before entering politics. Agnew can petition later for reinstatement as an attorney. Secretary Kissinger is off to Syria Friday after talks in Israel Thursday. The Israelis apparently told Kissinger how far they would go and how far they would not go to achieve a military disengagement with Syria. What was said in the session is secret. As Kissinger was talking, fighting continued in the Golan Heights. A bomb was thrown into a Roman Catholic Belfast bar Thursday night, killing four persons and injuring at least 20. Although the bar was owned by Catholics, it was also patronized by Protestants. Earlier in the day, one person was killed when extremists fired rockets into a police station 60 miles southwest of Belfast. More after this.
The time. time has come for action.
Birth defects are forever. Unless
a
you
time
help.
To be born, a time to
die. March of Dimes fights birth
a
defects.
A time to heal.
Through medical service programs, scientific research,
a time to
and
speak.
Public education.
These are the times that try men's
to
souls.
Protect the bodies and minds of our children, today
That's
and tomorrow.
Why it's time for a change.
So much to do.
So little time.
We
must see to it that every child is born healthy, whole,
now is
perfect.
The time for all good men to come to
the aid of the March of Dimes in its drive to prevent birth defects.
Make time stand still. Wake up.
It's later than you
remember,
think.
Remember, birth defects are forever unless you
the
help.
The time has come for
the action. Time has come for action.
Give to the March of Dimes.
The Penn Central Company and some of its former top officers were charged Thursday by the Securities and Exchange Commission with scheming to defraud investors of billions of dollars. The complaint charges when the railroad was going broke, the firm's top officers deliberately kept financial facts from the public and manipulated financial statements to show profits instead of losses. During all of this, Penn Central stock sold as high as $84 a share. Thursday it closed unchanged at $2.25. I'm Jim Kilpatrick, CBS News.
In 97 News headlines, Jack Thompson's assertion that he received controversial voters' pamphlet material before the deadline was supported today at a hearing on his dismissal as elections director. UCLA's star center Bill Walton says he'll sign with the Portland Trailblazers of the National Basketball Association. Oregon witnesses appeared before a congressional subcommittee today to urge higher funding of certain public works projects in the state. Associations of the state sheriffs and police chiefs object to a proposal to consolidate small-town police departments. The weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver vicinity: warmer days clearing tonight, sunny Friday and Saturday with patchy morning fog or low clouds. The lows near 40 degrees, the highs near 70 Friday, 75 on Saturday. Chance of rain near zero through Friday night. Right now in downtown Portland, it's 54 degrees. That's KOIN News headlines at 10:07. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the terrifying world of your imagination. Vampire. Perhaps in the safety of your home, the word means little to you. Oh, you've heard of vampires, of course, but do you believe that they exist? Not you. Well, all I can say is Minna Harker didn't believe either. Nor did Dr. John Seward. Not till that night in the graveyard, when they gazed horror-stricken into that coffin and heard Professor Van Helsing say,
"No, Miss Harker, John, don't turn away. Look, see for yourselves the truth."
Horrible. It's horrible.
What? Van Helsing, what can be done?
A stake must be driven into the body, straight through the heart, and then the head cut off.
Oh.
Can you bring yourself to do that, Van Helsing?
That is not the question, John. The question is, can you?
Our mystery drama, Dracula, was specially adapted from the story by Bram Stoker for the Mystery Theater by George Lother and stars Mercedes McCambridge. It is sponsored in part by new sugar-free diet 7-Up and by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
And now, another story of the ball and chain, as Kellogg's Special K presents The Library.
Welcome to the public library. May I help you, sir?
Yes, I'd like to check out...
Shh! I'd like to check out famous laundromats of the world by Audrey Schnorbart.
Sir, excuse me, but isn't that ball and chain you're wearing just like the ones they use in the Kellogg Special K commercial?
This ball and chain?
Yes, that one. How are you going to get rid of it?
Well, you know, lots of good exercises, and by eating smart at every meal, starting with the Special K breakfast.
Don't you have to watch your calories?
Yes, and the Special K breakfast is less than 240 calories.
Less than 240 calories?
Right. A 1-ounce bowl of high-protein Special K, 4 ounces of skim milk, tomato juice, and coffee. It's really tasty, and it's going to help me get rid of this ball and chain. I'd say it's long overdue, get it?
Your happy ending could begin with the Special K breakfast from Kellogg's. The mystery has been solved. For all your shopping needs, large or small, shop the climate-controlled malls of Janssen Beach Center. It's always fair weather at the beach. More than 60 shops and services await your shopping visits to the center, so make a day of it. Take your time shopping. Eat a leisurely lunch. Just browse through the afternoon. We work hard to make our motto mean something. The mall that has it all. Janssen Beach Center. Interstate 5 at Janssen Beach.
That was very good, Susan. Now, after Mom tells us a story, we'll all get in the car and go get some...
ice cream!
Right. Okay, Mom.
Well, this story begins a long time
ago. Family night. One night a week with all the kids and both of you can make it all worthwhile. Can make it a family. A family's a pretty nice thing to have around.
And they all lived happily ever after. Now, let's get that ice cream.
Yay!
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Horror, in its purest form, lies ahead for us. I would be remiss if I didn't warn you that if your nerves are not strong, it might be better for you not to listen. No, really now. Be warned, because as Minna Harker tells us in the diary she kept, there awaits you
an experience so loathsome, so horrifying, that I can hardly bring myself to write of it. If I'd known what lay ahead for me when I went to visit my dearest and closest friend, Lucy Wistenra, at Hillingham, I could not have brought myself to go, much as I loved her. Looking back now, I realize I had plenty of warning, but I paid no attention. For example, as I drove to the Wistenra estate through that lonely, isolated country and heard the wolves howling in the distance, it occurred to me that it was strange to hear wolves in this part of the country. As strange as the huge bats that flew alongside my car. I mentioned this to John, Dr. John Seward, Lucy's fiancé, as we sat having a drink in the living room.
It's strange, Minna. I've seen that bat myself. The thing must have a wingspread of at least 4 feet. I haven't the faintest idea where it came from, or the wolves, either.
Even Lucy's letter seemed kind of strange to me, John. What is the matter with her?
Oh, I don't know. I'm completely baffled. I've had two other doctors look at her, colleagues of mine, and they can't figure it out. I'm desperate, Minna. I'm so desperate, I've called in my old friend and teacher, Professor Van Helsing.
Van Helsing?
Yes,
he's one of the finest diagnosticians in the world, John.
Yes, he'll be here from Amsterdam in a day or two.
Amsterdam, Holland?
Yeah.
All the way from Oh, John, you must be desperate.
Lucy is dying, Minna. I'll do anything I can to save her. We must find a way to stop her from losing blood.
Losing blood?
Well, it's this constant loss of blood that's killing her. Transfusions help for a time, but only a short time, and each transfusion is less effective.
John, when can I see her?
She's sleeping now. Her mother's with her, watching her. We take turns. As soon as Mrs. Westenra lets us know she's awake...
Listen, those wolves, they're at it again. John, hasn't anyone looked into this wolf thing? How they suddenly come to be in this part of the country?
Well, according to the paper, the town police have looked into it. Well, that's peculiar, too.
What?
Well, they haven't been able to spot one single wolf. Oh, excuse me, we have a visitor. Come in, Count, come in.
Thank you, Doctor. I'm on my way to town. I have a dinner engagement, and I thought I would stop to ask after Miss Westenra. Oh,
she's no better, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Can you stay for a drink?
Well,
I'd like you to meet a friend of Lucy's who'll be staying with us for a while.
Oh, in that case, of course.
Minna, this is Count Dracula, our new neighbor. Count, Miss Minna Harker.
How do you do?
How do you do? Count Dracula?
Yes, but do not hold it against me, Miss Harker. I cannot help being of the blood royal.
Well, why don't you two get acquainted while I go up and see if Lucy's awake yet?
I shall do my best to entertain this charming young lady.
I won't be a minute.
You're a long way from home, Count.
A very long way, Miss Harker.
May I ask what brought you here?
Business.
Business? Good heavens, what kind of business could you have in this part of the country? I mean, it's so isolated.
True, it does present difficulties, but I like living in the country.
No, you must. Oh, forgive me, I'm forgetting my manners. Would you like a drink?
Thank you.
Scotch or bourbon?
Is there perhaps some wine? Red wine.
Now, let me see. I'm not very familiar with the supply here. Ah, here we are. There's a bottle of burgundy.
Ah, that glass of that will be...
Oh.
Miss Harker, what's wrong? What is it?
It's the bottle. I'm afraid it slipped. It slipped. That's all. I'm afraid I cut my hand. No, don't, Count. Don't be upset. It's only a slight...
No.
See?
No.
Lucy's awake and we can... Count, what's wrong? Minna, your hand.
I must leave at once, Doctor. Sorry, I cannot say something I just remembered. No, it's all right. I will see myself now.
What in the world? But, Count... Minna, what happened? Minna?
I dropped the bottle of wine and cut my hand.
Yes, I see you did, but...
I dropped the bottle because I couldn't see him in the mirror.
Couldn't see? Who? What mirror?
This mirror over the table. It reflects the whole room.
Well, of course it does, but...
John, I picked up the bottle to pour Count Dracula a drink, and I looked into the mirror, and he was standing where you are now, and I couldn't see him in the mirror.
What?
He was there where you're standing, but he wasn't reflected in the glass.
Minna, you're not making sense. And you're trembling.
John, I'm scared.
Of what?
How can you ask? I look in a mirror and didn't see someone who should have been reflected in it. Is something going wrong with my eyes or my brain, John?
Oh, Minna, easy. I don't want another patient on my hands.
But, John...
An optical illusion, something like that. Our eyes play tricks on us sometimes. Now, come on. Let's get a bandage for that cut, and then we'll go up and see Lucy.
I believe, John, it must have been. It had to be a trick my eyes had played. What else? Well, we got a bandage for the cut on my hand, and then John took me to Lucy's room. I can't find words to describe the shock I felt when I saw her. She was white as new-fallen snow, and so thin, she almost seemed transparent. She's dying. That was my first thought. She's dying, and nothing can save her. And I know she read the thoughts in my face. I could see the sudden fear in her eyes.
I am dying.
Oh, you mustn't even think that, Lucy.
You do. It was in your face when you looked at me. I read your thoughts. She's dying, you thought. And nothing can save her. I am. And nothing can save me.
Oh, John can save you. And he will.
He hasn't so far.
You mustn't despair, Lucy.
Despair, Minna? I don't have the strength to despair. You better go now, Minna.
Go? Lucy, dear, I haven't seen you in nearly a year. We haven't even started to tell each other everything that's happened.
Later. Not now. I'm tired. I want to sleep.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll come back later.
No, not till tomorrow.
All right, whatever you say. But I'll just look in on you later.
No,
Lucy.
You mustn't.
All right then. But stop upsetting yourself.
Go quick. please.
Oh, good Lord. At the window.
It's nothing. Go, Minna. It's nothing.
Nothing? It's that bat. That huge bat that followed my car.
Oh, I beg of you.
Lucy, the thing is trying to get in. Look, it's clawing at the window. Is that locked? Is that window locked?
Yes, it's locked.
But locks are useless against Count Dracula.
Oh, good Lord.
Mirrors do not reflect my image, Miss Harker. Nor do locks keep me out.
You were that bat.
As the wolves you hear are not wolves, but like myself, vampires.
Vampires?
The dead who live by night. The dead, undead.
No, this can't be happening. It's a dream. It's a nightmare.
That's what it will seem like when you wake up.
Huh?
Yes, you're going to sleep now. And yet not sleep. You will remember all you see and hear, but when you waken, it will seem like a dream. A dream you'll tell no one, not even Professor Van Helsing. Because you will not want to look foolish. You'll be ashamed to tell it for fear he will think you're a silly young woman. Enough. Sleep.
Did I sleep? Did I dream? No. My sleep was a hypnotic trance into which he had placed me. And what I dreamed was reality. There in the moonlight that streamed through the window, I saw Dracula raise his arms and call.
Lucy. Lucy, my dearest love, come to me. Come, my darling.
I'm too weak.
Then I shall come to you. Embrace you. Kiss you.
And now the strangest thing of all happened to me. As I watched what then took place, my love for my friend Lucy, my fears for her, made me feel as she must have felt so poignantly, so deeply that, yes, I became Lucy. I watched Dracula as he approached my bed. There was a deliberate voluptuousness in him which I found both thrilling and repulsive. Lower and lower went his head as the lips went below the range of my mouth and chin and seemed about to fasten on my throat. I could feel the hot breath on my neck. Then the skin of my throat began to tingle. I could feel the soft, shivering touch of his lips on the supersensitive skin of my throat, and then two hard dents of two sharp teeth just touching and pausing there. I closed my eyes in a languorous ecstasy. And I waited. I waited with a beating heart. And then horror overcame me. And I sank into unconsciousness.
I promised you horror. Have I kept my promise? Here then, another promise, another warning. I promise that the horror you have just experienced is nothing compared to what is to come. Think twice before you return with me shortly with Act Two.
Hi, I'm Goldilocks, Ms. Goldilocks, if you please, and I'm a professional taste tester. Here at my taste test laboratory, that's TTL for short, I taste test everything from porridge to diet drinks. Actually, there's not that much taste testing in porridge these days. There used to be once upon a time. I mean, that's how this Ms. got into the biz. But lately, it's been diet drinks. I mean, with so many diet drinks going sugar-free, I've been really busy conducting taste tests. A rather unbearable assignment, to be sure. But then I discovered sugar-free diet 7-Up. Fresh, natural, delicious. My only problem is that sugar-free diet 7-Up tastes so good that it broke my Goldilocks diet drink taste-o-meter. Well, sugar-free diet 7-Up certainly has my seal of approval. This one's just right.
Hello, this is Steve Allen.
You are? Then I must be Jane Meadows.
I hope so.
Now, do you want to tell them, darling, or shall I?
Ladies first, sweetheart. The microphone's all yours.
Okay. Well, we have some good news. Steve and I are the honorary chairman of National Goodwill Week. That's May 5th through the 12th.
Mm-hmm. And we're very pleased to be associated with this organization.
Yes.
Because it's the number one rehabilitation facility in the country. You see, Goodwill believes in people, and its business is helping the handicapped help themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you know, Steve, with most of us these days devoting a good portion of our time combating the energy crisis, we tend to forget about the battle that handicapped people face every day just to survive.
Very true. But that's where Goodwill Industries comes in. It offers them a chance to learn a trade, earn a living, and regain their self-respect.
Yes.
Well, our time's about up, Jane, so remember, folks, be good to Goodwill.
Especially during the week of May 5th through the 12th.
Visiting her friend, Lucy Westenra, at the Westenra's lonely estate far out in the country, Minna Harker comes face to face with horror in the form of a vampire, Count Dracula. She has witnessed the frightful scene of Dracula entering her friend's bedroom, biting her throat, sucking her blood. So gruesome was it all, or perhaps because of hypnotic suggestion, as Minna writes in her diary,
I thought it must have been a dream, a nightmare, for nothing so vile and revolting could be real. But though I tried during the next day or two to persuade myself it was only a dream, there were signs, warnings all about me that told me I was lying to myself. There was the nightly howling of the wolves, the screeching of that huge bat around the house, and yes, the scarf that Lucy kept wrapped round her throat. It's such a hot afternoon. How can you bear to wear that scarf around your throat?
Hot? I feel cold.
But, Lucy, you're perspiring. Your forehead is damp.
All I want to do is sleep. I'm so tired. I'm so deathly tired.
I'll leave you for a while, then. I'll look in on you later to make sure you're all right.
Oh.
Sleep well.
Minna?
Yes, dear.
If I'm asleep when you come back, promise me you won't remove this scarf from around my throat.
Very well.
You won't even touch it. Promise?
I promise. Later that afternoon, toward evening, Professor Van Helsing arrived from Holland. When John introduced me to him, he stared at me suddenly and hard, his eyes boring into me from behind his thick lens glasses.
You are frightened, Miss Harker? Why?
Frightened?
Maybe she hasn't recovered from that optical illusion the other night.
Optical illusion?
Yes, you see that mirror over the table there?
Yes.
Well, we had a visitor, Count Dracula, a new neighbor, Carfax, a few miles from here. And Minna had the illusion that she couldn't see his reflection in the mirror.
My eyes must have played a trick on me, Professor.
Yes. This Count Dracula, John, he's new here, you say?
Yes, he arrived from Hungary about 6 weeks ago.
I see. Take me to see your fiancée, John.
Oh, she's sleeping. Sleeping.
We'd better wake her up.
What is it? You seem suddenly concerned.
I am. Take me to Lucy at once.
Awake her, John.
All right.
Gently. Very gently.
Lucy? Lucy, dear. Come on, wake up.
Here. Let me. Pulse weak, very weak. Eyes? Oh, she's not asleep. She's in a coma. What is her blood type?
O.
So is mine. Prepare for a transfusion, John. I will be the donor. And hurry, man, hurry.
Yes, of course.
Meanwhile, I shall have a look under this scarf.
No, she didn't want the scarf removed.
I'm sure she didn't, Miss Harker, but we're going to remove it. Aha. As I thought.
What is it?
Yes, Professor, what?
Look.
There are two little holes. Wounds.
As if she'd been bitten by a large snake.
No, not a snake.
Well, what then? What?
We must be quick with the transfusion, very quick. And pray God, both of you, that I have not arrived too late.
But he was too late. The transfusion revived Lucy a little. When we'd made her as comfortable as we could, the three of us, Professor Van Helsing, John and I, went back down to the living room. And it was here that Professor Van Helsing told us the truth. The truth that made John Seward cry out.
Vampire? You say we are dealing with a vampire? Professor, have you gone out of your mind?
My dear John, I don't blame you.
Blame me? I should hope not. You ask me to believe me, a doctor, a man of medical science.
Science? There's more to this world than science.
But, Professor, a vampire? I can't believe that there's a vampire.
I tell you that witches exist. That warlocks exist. That vampires exist. And we are dealing with one here.
But if what you say is true...
It is. Ask her. Ask Miss Harker.
Me?
You had an experience in this house that you are concealing. You choose to think it was a dream. Well, when did it happen, child? Last night?
No. The night before.
Where?
In Lucy's bedroom.
Minna, what happened?
I dreamed...
No, it was no dream.
All right, then. I saw... Oh, heaven protect me. I saw...
You needn't tell me. No need to put you through that. I would if I didn't know who our vampire is. But I do know.
Who?
The man whose reflection she could not see in that mirror. Your new neighbor, Count Dracula.
I don't believe you. I cannot believe you.
If you can't believe me, at least trust me.
Oh, I'll answer that.
Wait.
Yes, Professor.
If that should be Count Dracula, you did say that he calls about this time each evening, John?
Yes.
Say nothing, do nothing to give away the fact that we are unto him.
This is nonsense, sheer
do
nonsense.
Do as I tell you. You may answer the door now, Miss Harker.
Yes.
Good evening, Miss Harker.
Count Dracula? Come in.
And... how is Miss Westenra today?
Not too well, I'm afraid. She had to have another transfusion.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, John. Very sorry to hear that.
Thank you, Count.
I do not believe I have met this gentleman.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you haven't. Let me present my old friend and teacher, Professor Abraham Van Helsing. Professor, this is Count Dracula.
How do you do, Professor?
How do you do, Count?
Right. Wished only to inquire about your fiancée, John. I'm sorry indeed to hear she is no better. If there is anything I can do...
Thank you.
Meeting you, Professor, has been a pleasure. Good night.
Oh, Count.
Yes?
Mrs. Westenra keeps asking me to do this, and I keep forgetting. There is a custom in the Westenra family to ask visitors to sign the visitor's book.
Ah, charming old world custom.
It's right here. If you'll just wait a second, I'll get it, and then you can sign it. Is something wrong?
It's a Bible.
Well, yes. Why do you back away from me? Or are you backing away from the book? The holy book?
I must go.
No, you'll stay and face this book.
You know.
John, you fool. You shouldn't have done this.
I had to have proof.
I will make you pay for this. You shall pay.
Oh, no. Not now. Now that I have found out what you are.
Oh, John, John!
You think because you discovered my secret you can stop me? Fool. You've only delivered yourself into my hands. I meant to make Lucy one of mine, and that was all. But now you shall become mine, and you.
Not I.
Yes, and you.
No, I beg you.
I shall have you all, but first, Lucy, I shall take her. Take her. Now. She is mine. She's no longer of this world, but of mine. I leave you.
Look! Look, he turned into a bat. The bat. And he flew right through the wall.
John.
Oh.
John, why did you do this? Why, after I warned you?
I have to know one way or the other. I have to know.
There's only one way to finish a vampire. Well, the first thing you must do is find out where he sleeps during the day.
Lucy! Professor, quickly. Professor!
There is no hurry now. When he said he meant to make her his own, he had already done so.
It was true. Lucy was dead. We went to her bedroom and found her. Dead. I felt as if I'd been stabbed to the heart. We buried her, my dearest friend, in the West End vault at Hillingham Cemetery, not far from town.
Lucy is gone. Dead?
No. No, not dead.
Not dead, Professor.
She has become the undead. She has become a vampire.
What are you saying?
John, listen to me. Believe in me. You didn't believe before. Believe now.
Yes, yes, yes. I believe you. Go on.
John, you feel you've been through hell. I must tell you that you have been through only the anteroom to hell.
What do you mean?
Now, listen to me. Listen carefully. There is only one way in which a vampire can find peace. Can be changed from the undead to the dead. What you must do, terrible as it will be, will release her soul from the horrifying bondage in which it finds itself. Her soul and Dracula's.
Dracula's?
Do you think a vampire wants to be a vampire? Oh, no, no. A vampire's soul is chained. Pinioned, held mercilessly to this earth by Satan himself. And we who believe in God, are the only ones who can free them. It is our duty to destroy them.
Well, then let's destroy them.
We shall, if you have the nerve to do what must be done.
I have the nerve.
Professor, you frighten me.
I mean to, in order to prepare you. But no matter how well I prepare you, when it comes to doing what must be done, your sanity could snap like that. So first I will ask you both to take as much time as you need to think, to ask yourselves, how much do you really love Lucy Westenra? And be sure, be positive beyond all doubt, that your love for her is greater than the hell that lies ahead for you and you this very night.
One section of Minna Harker's diary ends at this point. I've read the next and final section, and I can tell you this. Van Helsing said that John and Minna had only experienced the anteroom to hell. He was right. Fearfully right. I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine. But Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference. And that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this perfectly drawing mirror in the showroom, so I bought it. But when the truck came, they delivered this thing I never saw before. Now what am I going to do?
I'll tell you what to do, madam.
But who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, the first thing to do is to call the store manager and tell him what happened. But in the future, when your merchandise is delivered, you should examine the item before the delivery truck leaves. And if it's to be delivered from a warehouse, have a clear understanding with the dealer that unless the same as the sample shown to you, you will not accept it or pay for it.
Oh, thank you.
Just part of my job, madam, to help people with their shopping problems.
Come now to that final section of Minna Harker's diary. You've been warned about what lies ahead, so I'll not warn you again. But, quite honestly, I wish someone had warned me before I read it, this final section. Why? Because I've never quite gotten over it. That's why. I thought I knew what horror was until I read it. I changed my mind. You will, too.
I'm ready, Professor.
I knew you would be, John. We'll wait now for Miss Harker.
No, no, there's no need to wait. I love Lucy enough. More than enough. She was my dearest friend.
Is your dearest friend. For she is not yet dead. She is as yet the dead undead. It's nearly sundown. Let us go to the cemetery at once.
The cemetery?
It will be dark by the time we get there. She will have left her coffin.
Left it?
Well, like Count Dracula, she cannot go on living, or let me say, being the undead, without drinking human blood. To find it, she must, of course, leave her coffin. The instant the sun goes down tonight, she will be on the prowl for little children.
Children?
Yes, children are innocent, gullible, naive, make easier victims. And the inexperienced vampire must practice. Yes, she will be seeking children.
Oh, it's revolting.
Revolting? Well, that is only a word to you at the moment. In a short time, it will be reality. Do you really think you can bear what is to come?
I can. I must.
Good. I have preparations to make. So do you, the two of you. Dress warmly.
Warmly? But it's hot out.
Child, there is no chill like a graveyard chill.
To Hillingham Cemetery in John's car. I'd never been in a cemetery at night. How many people have? I found it a very unsettling experience, to say the least. It was a moonlit night, the moonlight spilling like milk over the gravestones, which in turn threw long black shadows. An owl hooted, and dogs barked. I couldn't help thinking, were they wolves? And then we reached the Western Revolt, the vault where we'd put Lucy's coffin that afternoon.
Now what do we do, Professor?
We go into the vault.
Why? And how?
I have the key to the vault.
How did you get it?
I asked the undertaker for it, or rather told him to give it to me. He assumed I was a member of the family. Well, you need not come with me. Not now.
But why shouldn't we come?
I wish to save you as much shock as I can. She will not be there in the coffin. It will be a shock for you to find it empty. Now, on the other hand, it will be less a shock than what is to follow. Yes, it will prepare you. Come, then. Now, I shall open the coffin now.
If she isn't in it, how could she have got out?
I could tell you, but it is better that you see for yourself later. Now, this won't take long. I need only unscrew the top part. There. Well, now to lift off the top of the lid. Yes. Empty. She's gone.
Where? Gone where? In God's name, where?
In search of the life-giving blood, John. In search of a small child.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible.
John?
Yes?
Come. We go outside the vault. Now to lock the door. Now, that's most important. And now, what I must do will take a little time. Yes, make yourselves as comfortable as you can.
Make ourselves comfortable.
Professor, what must you do?
Well, I have here a paste made of garlic, flour, and water. I must seal off every crevice with it. Seal all around the door so Lucy cannot get back into the vault, into her coffin.
She could?
Through the crevices, yes. How do you think she got out of the coffin?
I can't believe
it. Yes, yes, yes. It is unbelievable. But it is so. Now, forgive me. I must get to work.
I can't express in words how fresh and clean the night air seemed when we came out of the tomb. How sweet to breathe the fresh air that held no taint of death or decay. John was silent, and so was I. As for Professor Van Helsing, he was very busy sealing the door.
10 o'clock. I hope both of you took my advice, dressed warmly. We have a long wait ahead of us.
How much longer, Professor? I'm chilled to the bone.
Everything depends on how long it takes her to find a small child. At nearly 2 o'clock, it's been gone several hours. Soon now, I think.
Shh, what?
She comes.
Where?
See there? Amidst the headstones?
Yes, a woman. Dressed in white.
Lucy. Shh. Make no move, no noise. See, she is carrying something in her arms. A child.
I feel sick.
Control yourself. Ah, there. Yes, you're at the vault.
No!
See, she draws back. The mixture I used repels her.
Why are we doing this? Why are you keeping her out of the vault, her coffin?
Because I hope... Ah, yes. Yes, she is leaving, hurrying away from along the headstones. Come, we must follow.
Follow? Follow where?
To Dracula, I hope. Unless I'm mistaken, she's going to him for help. Oh, hurry. Hurry. We must keep her in sight. No, wait.
What is it?
She is heading for that tomb. Dracula must be there. Good. Now watch. Putting the child down. On the ground. Now
where? Where is she?
Where is she?
She's vanished.
She simply slipped into the tomb through the crevice around the door. Oh, wait here.
Yes.
What's he doing?
Child, I think. Yes. See, he's coming back now.
Here, Miss Harker. You take the child. Keep it warm.
Oh, this poor thing. Poor little thing. Look, it doesn't move. It doesn't make a sound. It's lifeless.
No. No, only in a trance. It will recover. But remember, when I ask you to remember that we have saved not only this child, but God knows others.
I'll remember.
Good. And now we will return to her tomb and wait till dawn.
Till dawn?
She will return to the tomb then. She has no choice. Dracula cannot help her. She must sleep in her own coffin before daybreak. How do you feel, Miss Harker?
I'm all right. Thank you.
John.
I'm okay. It's almost dawn. Why doesn't she come?
Soon now. How's the child?
Still asleep, if it is only sleep.
It is. It will not come to its senses until daybreak. Now, prepare yourselves for... In a very short time, now Lucy should... There. Yes, she's coming.
This time she'll be able to enter the tomb. Could you remove the garlic mixture?
This time I want her to enter the tomb and her coffin. It will be there that you will do what must be done.
Oh, there she is. Oh, heaven help me, she is as beautiful as she always was. Now
hold on to yourself.
She isn't dead. She can't be dead. Lucy! Lucy, my darling!
John! No, come back!
Lucy!
John, my dearest, come to me, John! Come to me!
I have never seen anything so horrible. And God save me from ever seeing it again. Lucy's eyes shone with an unholy light, and her face became wreathed with a voluptuous smile as she advanced toward John with outstretched arms.
Come to me, dearest. My arms are hungry for you. And we can rest together in the tomb. Come, my lover. Come.
And John suddenly opened wide his arms and started running to her, and she to him, when Van Helsing rushed forward between them. And he raised something he held in his hand up against her face. It was a crucifix. With a cry of rage and agony, Lucy flung herself away from John and toward the tomb, and she was gone.
John, are you all right?
Lord, help me. The Lord, help me.
And he shall. Come into the tomb. It's time. Oh, first let me put the bag I brought over here. And now I will remove the coffin lid again.
Professor, is this really Lucy's body or some kind of demon in her shape?
Oh, she's hideous.
Yes. Yes, your friend who was so sweet and pure is now a foul thing. But if you can do what you must do, you will see her once again as she was.
Whatever it is, we'll do it.
This wooden stake I have bought.
Yes.
This pointed stake. You must drive it through Lucy's heart. With this hammer.
Oh, no.
When that is done, cut off her head with this surgical knife.
I don't...
You must do it. For her sake, John. For the sake of the woman you loved.
All right. Give me the stake. And the hammer.
John took the stake in his left hand, the hammer in his right. I saw him tremble as he placed the point of the stake over Lucy's heart. Saw the point dig into her white flesh. And then I could see him gather all his strength, all his self-control. He raised the hammer high above his head and looked at Van Helsing.
Yes.
Ow! John struck with all his might. The thing in the coffin writhed, and a hideous blood-curdling screech came from the opened lips. The body shook and twisted in wild contortions. John never faltered. He struck, and he struck again, driving the stake deeper, deeper, as blood from the pierced heart welled and spurted up around it. And then The writhing and quivering of the body became less. The teeth stopped champing, and the thing lay still. It was over.
Is that enough, Professor?
Enough.
I think I'm going to...
I've got you. There. Now go outside, get some air.
No.
Both of you go. You look faint too, Miss Harper.
I must still her head.
You have done all that can be asked of you. No more. I will sever the head. Now go now, but before you do, look at your beloved Lucy for the last time.
There, in the coffin, lay no longer the foul thing we dreaded, but Lucy, as we had seen her in life. Her face as beautiful and pure as it had been then.
You will want to know that later on, Professor Van Helsing freed Count Dracula from his earthly bondage, and in so doing, brought his bloody career to an end. Unhappily, I must add that Count Dracula was only one vampire among, how many? I don't know. Hope I never find out. Hope you don't either. I'll be back shortly.
The Veterans Administration helps people, in little ways.
A veteran, let's say, is trying to get an appointment. He is filed to go to school under the GI Bill. He's not getting any money, but he is entitled. Well, what's wrong with writing a letter saying that under the law, this man is entitled to receive $220 a month for attending school on a full-time basis? Believe it or not, he can take that letter with the little job, take it to the real estate people, and because he has an additional income of $220, although he isn't receiving it, it makes his chances of getting that apartment much better. And this is what I mean about the little things. Going beyond the duty every once in a while. Just go a little bit out of your way to help someone. That's my philosophy.
At VA, we try a little harder to help.
I've been asked, do vampires really exist? No one will deny that strange, bizarre, and yes, gruesome things happen in this world which no one can explain. As Professor Van Helsing himself said, what science cannot prove, science claims does not exist. Well, anyhow, I play it safe. Use plenty of garlic. I'm afraid it keeps my friends at a distance as well as vampires. But then, you can't have everything. Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, Paul Hecht, Stefan Schnabel, Michael Wager, and Marion Seldes. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Now, a preview of our next tale.
I saw the glowing tips of two flipped cigarettes, and then...
Kiss me, Richard.
Oh, I'm crazy about you.
Stop it! Stop it!
Tom!
What are you... Marianne, go inside. Go inside, I tell you.
Now, wait a minute.
Why? If you have anything to say, you can say it here in front of Richard.
Go inside.
Let go of my arm.
Now, listen, you leave her alone. Let go of her. He broke my grip on her arm and pushed me away. No. His shove made me slip to my knees. I came up swinging at his legs. I missed. He pinned my arms from behind.
Now, listen.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy? I broke out of his grip, stepped back from him, and fell across the shovel. I grabbed the handle, jumped up.
No! No!
And swung at Emery. Too late for me to stop the swing.
No!
As she rushed in between us, the sharp edge of the shovel hit her in the back of the head.
Oh.
I stood there, holding the shovel, unable to move.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part
by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy. His daddy and mommy would go to parties in the evening and leave the little boy with the babysitter. Mommy had many important things to do in the afternoon, so the little boy would stay with the neighbors. When the little boy wanted to play with daddy, daddy would play golf. When mommy and daddy would go out in the evening, they would tell the little boy they loved him. Who are they kidding?
Love takes time. Your time. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Just a few seconds, CBS News for you. Don't forget, Charles Kuralt explores America 30 times this weekend on KOIN. The time now is 11 o'clock, time for CBS News.
News. Russia has issued a strongly worded demand to China. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The Soviets are demanding that China immediately return a Russian helicopter and its three-man crew, which went down 6 weeks ago. TASS, the Soviet news agency, says unless the Chinese return the chopper and the three men, China will suffer what the Soviets term the inevitable consequences of this provocative stand. Russia claims the chopper was on a mercy flight near the border with China when it went down in China because of bad weather and was running out of fuel. China claims the Soviet helicopter was on a spying mission. The incident has resulted in new tension between the once strongly allied communist giants. More news after this message.
The city of Chicago, state of Georgia, Albertsons Incorporated of Colorado, bottlers.
What do all these have in common?
State of West Virginia.
They've all joined in and worked with the pitch-in program to help clean up America.
24th Street Elementary.
What can you do?
Keep Virginia.
Right. United States Brewers Association. Post Office Box 2570, Washington, D.C. 20013.
Washington.
Let's all pitch in.
Annapolis Motor Speedway. Colorado Division of Highways. Keep Florida beautiful.
Child of mine, tomorrow is yours. What kind of world will it be?
Every mother worries about her child's future. Needy mothers overseas worry even more. Through CARE, you can provide them with food, drinkable water, medical care, and the means to help themselves.
Please send your dollars to CARE, Department 2, New York, 10016.
After an all-day meeting with officials in Israel Thursday, Secretary of State Kissinger is heading for Syria for talks there aimed at getting the Israelis and the Syrians to pull back their armies along the Syrian front. Dean Brillis reports from Damascus.
The expectation here, as expressed by senior Syrian officials, is that Dr. Kissinger will arrive with a first-step plan for disengagement, which will return the city of Kenatra to Syria. Kenatra is the traditional provincial capital of the Syrian Golan. It is described here almost as important to Syria as the Suez Canal is to the Egyptians. The Israelis captured Kenatra in the 1967 war. They have been reluctant to return the city or any part of the Golan territory seized in 1967. But the Syrians are saying today that without Kenatra as part of any first stage, there can be no agreement between Syria and Israel to disengage their forces, and that the fighting will continue if there is no disengagement. Dean Brayless for CBS News, Damascus.
Former presidential counsel John Dean charges that the White House transcripts of his conversations with President Nixon were made public with major deletions. Speaking through friends, Dean told CBS News that one of the transcripts omitted a long discussion on using the Internal Revenue Service to attack enemies of the Nixon administration. Dean is also said to have charged that the transcripts omit a conversation about an IRS investigation of then Democratic National Chairman Lawrence O'Brien. Apparently, the fuel crisis has eased enough, so there's plenty to go around, but energy officials still want people to take it easy with use of petroleum. Nelson Metten reports from Washington.
The Federal Energy Office is relaxing its restraints on fuel distribution at the end of this month, but warning it will pinch the hose again if conservation efforts fall apart. FEO official Duke Liggins says that service station owners will be allowed to pump as much gasoline next month as they did during June of 1972 if the supplies are available. But he says that if demand starts outstripping supply, FEO would consider cutting back its fuel allocations. Energy officials have expressed continuing concern over increased gasoline use. FEO is optimistic enough, however, that it is also increasing the limit on fuel supplied for industrial users. And the American Petroleum Institute, which monitors fuel supplies nationwide, says that gasoline inventories are almost 10% more than they were 1 year ago. On gasoline prices, FEO's Liggins says they'll remain high. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
Your attention, please. Now announcing Exploring America 74, departures for Rhinebeck, New York, Silver Dollar City, Missouri, Coster's Farm, Illinois, Langdon, North Dakota, Savannah, Georgia.
Did you hear that? Again this year, the CBS Radio Network takes you on a lively journey around the country, Exploring America 74, with CBS News correspondent Charles Carrault. Departure dates, this Saturday and Sunday, the 4th and 5th. You'll visit Monticello, Virginia, and the house that Jefferson built. Meet a blacksmith at work in Savannah, Georgia. Enjoy the music of the street musicians in San Francisco. You'll savor big, generous slices of American life, from the air show at Rhinebeck, New York, to barbershop quartet singing in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So come on along for Exploring America 74 with Charles Carrault, a 30-broadcast weekend special, this Saturday and Sunday, the 4th and 5th, on the CBS Radio Network.
In Belfast Thursday night, a bomb went off inside a crowded tavern, killing 4 people and wounding 18 others. The bomb knocked down the ceiling and left a 6-foot crater in the building. 60 miles south of Belfast, terrorists made a rocket and machine gun attack on a militia post. One woman militia member was killed in the attack. Doug Poling, CBS News.
A pilot from Mercer Island, Washington, was killed late this afternoon when his twin-engine plane crashed about 30 miles northwest of Portland, on Deer Island. Killed was 47-year-old Robert Eldon Bruce. Authorities say a wreckage of the light plane was scattered 600 yards. The plane reportedly clipped a power pole and landed in trees. The Federal Aviation Agency is investigating the crash. Citing lowered traffic deaths in April, 1/4 below the same month a year ago, Oregon Governor Tom McCall called for continued adherence to the 55-mile-per-hour speed limit.
73 was a low year. We had 635 deaths in 73 as compared with 737 in 1972. So stick in there on that 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, because you're going to have to get it back anyhow. It's going to be an integrated part of our life as we do face this energy crisis year in and year out.
McCall made his call for continued lower speeds while before a professional forestry meeting in Vancouver this morning. Oregon is on the way to becoming the first state in the nation to receive federal money to help preserve an estuarine sanctuary from funds set aside under the new Federal Coastal Zone Management Act. James Ross, Executive Secretary of the Oregon Coastal Conservation and Development Commission, says Oregon's grant application for preservation of the estuary on the south slope of Coos Bay is speeding through the federal process. Portland Mayor Neil Goldschmidt thinks the city council may be asking city residents to allow the collection of a $1 million special levy for a period of years to build additional recreational facilities in the city. The basic reason the city doesn't have the money in its budget to do that work now.
I think the conclusion that Council is going to reach, if they have not already, is that our budget resources won't let us take on large capital expenditures. Again, and some of them, by the way, may provide operating efficiencies. Purchasing facility, for example, might reduce personnel costs and over 20 years really be a savings. But to muster the money to get those savings over that long period of time is very hard.
Goldschmidt said the demand is definitely there for such facilities. An election would determine the size of the support. As you may well have heard by now, Bill Walton has committed himself to the Portland Trailblazers with a 5-year contract, the money part of which isn't being talked about. The news came shortly after 2 o'clock this afternoon as the Trailblazer conference room on the third floor of the Lloyd Building. Team owner Herman Sarkowski made the announcement calmly and then answered reporters' questions. Phil Paxson asked Sarkowski when it became certain that Walton belonged to the Blazers.
I really can't, because the precise time will be the time that he puts his name on the contract.
In a preliminary way?
In a preliminary way, I think that we realized this morning for certain that he would sign with us.
It's been a long few days.
It's been a long few days, and it's been a lot of fun, and I have enjoyed it, and I think someday I'll write a book about all the things that went on, that the rumors and the counter-rumors and the countermeasures that went on are just unbelievable.
Any prospective titles for the book?
Probably Horror Stories I Have Known or something like that.
Trailblazer owner, Mr. Sarkowski. The Washington State Director of Ecology, John Bigg, says the worst sewage disposal problem in Washington State is in the Yakima area. Bigg says he has been unable to secure agreements with the Yakima County Commissioners over establishment of a regional sewage disposal system that would include Union Gap, Yakima, and West Valley. The weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver area, warmer days clearing tonight. Sunny Friday and Saturday with patchy morning fog or low clouds. The lows near 40 degrees, the highs near 70 Friday, 70 to 75 on Saturday. Westerly winds of 5 to 15 miles per hour decreasing at night. Chance of rain near zero through Friday night. Right now in downtown Portland, it's 53 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1110. I'm Bill Garrity.